I am actually really excited to be here today. When Billy first called me, I was excited to share our perspective. But I admit, when I got the agenda, I looked at it and I started laughing. And I said, well, one of these is truly not like the other. And so, although I'm not a representative or senator, I am privileged to be your other today. And I am grateful for organizations such as this that allow others like me to have our perspective heard. As he said, I'm Natalie Martins, and I'm an affiliate, and my website is Two Wheeling Tots, and I review kid-specific bike products, and I actually target people, actually I don't target a specific audience. Only 0.03 of my audience is actually from the state of Utah, but because I live here, this law directly affects me. So I'm here to speak on behalf of affiliate marketers and bloggers in the state of Utah. We have a group that's really come together to try to target these issues and figure out, okay, what can we do to help? Let's see. So my first experience with affiliate marketing, and I will look at you. I want you to click. The clicker's broken, so this is my clicker. my first experience came in 2011. I was a resident of California at the time, and I received a letter from Amazon saying that my main source of income, their affiliate program, was terminated. Life quickly changed after that, as our family moved 5 times in 5 years. In 2014, we landed in Utah and quickly fell in love with the state. And having no desire to pack up and move again, I'm here today as living proof of the direct and sudden unintended consequences affiliate nexus laws have on families and businesses. So first off, who are affiliate marketers? So affiliate marketers, and what do? So we are the owners of websites or social media accounts, including YouTube, who review products and or run marketing campaigns for businesses. And essentially all bloggers are affiliate marketers. And affiliate marketers are essentially in every form of online media. So here's a list of different affiliate marketers. You can see we range from technology bloggers to high adventure gear reviewers to fashion stylists and mommy bloggers. We essentially cover the gamut of any form of online media. So what does affiliate marketing look like and where would I find it? So using my site as an example, a parent would come on and they're going to search for a kid product. So they may say on Google, a kid bike review. So if they Google, my site comes up, and hopefully you can see me up top on the results. And hopefully they click on that. And if they click on that, they're going to be led to my site. And on my site, I have various reviews. And at the end of every review, you can see a place where it says where to purchase. And there's a link, and this one says to Balance Bike Shop. That is a company that I am affiliated at, and hopefully they click on that. And if they click on that, they are sent to my affiliate partner's website, and from there they can decide whether or not to purchase. There's the website, and one more click, and you can see they go ahead, hopefully they click on that, and they throw it in the cart and purchase it. Okay, so how do we make money? Well, hopefully they make that purchase, and for our income is based on completed sales. So in completed sales, we get a percentage of that. So that's how we make our income. All right, now, from the last legislative session, we thought it was important to really address that's what we do, but what we do not do. And so there are several things we do not do. We do not sell, ship, store, warehouse, distribute, or process transaction payments. We don't sell anything. We are essentially just the advertisers or the marketers. And like other media outlets, we only advertise or market. So we're not selling anything. Essentially, in my case, I'm just comparing and really helping families kind of sort through what product is best for them. So what are the benefits of affiliate marketing? Well, year by year, affiliate marketing is growing. It's a huge industry. And why online ads are actually dropping in performance. Why? We all have ad blockers, and we've learned to essentially ignore the ads as we're scrolling through things online. Affiliate marketers, on the other hand, we generate new customers, attract customers who spend more than the average online shopper, help trigger brand reconsideration, and often closes sales for online shoppers. All good things for businesses. And lastly, we have a positive impact on an advertiser's reputation and their loyalty. All right, so Simply, affiliate marketing simply works, which is why you can see here's a list of Utah-based businesses. Or I guess eBay is not based in Utah, but the rest of these are. And this is just a small sample of companies in Utah that really use affiliate marketing to grow their businesses. Okay. So in addition to helping businesses grow, it's a win-win, affiliate marketing is, because when it comes to families in Utah's economy, we actually make a huge difference. So according to an H&R Block study, there's over 10,000 affiliate marketers in the state of Utah, and most of us are stay-at-home moms. And online sales are increasing year by year. In fact, it's double digits. But in terms of affiliate marketing, our growth is actually 50% per year in terms of the number of affiliate marketers as well as our income. Now, this growth rate is especially impressive when you consider that in 2013, there were 2.2, which is obviously 3 years ago, but $2.2 million in income was reported from Amazon affiliates living in Utah. Now, keep in mind that with an average growth of 50% growth rate, and the fact that these numbers only include Amazon, not the hundreds of other affiliate programs out there, affiliate marketers in Utah are projected to make over $10 million in 2016. But that is not the income made by the affiliate marketers, not the total economic impact we have on the state. Because affiliate marketers are generally, it's a secondary income, and that feeds directly into Utah's economy. So affiliate marketers are putting their incomes directly to use in Utah's local economy, from piano lessons to mortgages to the latest fashions and furnishings found at local brick-and-mortar stores. Affiliate marketers are helping local businesses grow as well. Okay. In fact, some of the most popular local businesses are well aware of the positive impact that bloggers make and regularly run marketing campaigns with them. So in addition to the loss of income if affiliate nexus laws were to pass, so affiliate nexus laws would shutter many blogs or force them out of state, which happened to me in California, and severely limiting a vital marketing outlet for Utah companies. Our economic impact on the state goes beyond just our income. We are a major marketing tool for local businesses. Not only that, we are good at it, as a large percentage of highly successful bloggers and YouTubers are from Utah. All right. So how do these laws affect us, and how do they kill our businesses? So what's really going on here? Once an affiliate nexus law is passed, an out-of-state business suddenly and usually unexpectedly find that they have a physical nexus in a new state, and they have two options on how to adapt to that law. So first, they can do what we all want them to do. So we are not against online tax at all. They can collect and remit sales tax, which sounds great. But to do so, they have to open an account, a tax account in every state, which has an affiliate nexus law. Now, in most states, any new account is always audited. So now not only audited by the state that you're in, it's every state that you sell in. So that's a big step for, especially for a small company. And also, expensive tax software is required to help keep track of the 10,000 various tax jurisdictions. And lastly, and this is where I think we all understand the major hurdle here, is that they have to ignore the 1992 Supreme Court ruling, Quill versus North Dakota, that states that states cannot require companies that do not have a true physical presence in their state to collect and remit sales tax. So that's the main issue here. And there's also the lesser known option, which is they can terminate their affiliate programs. With no affiliates, they no longer have a physical nexus, and they no longer have the requirement to collect sales tax. So you have two options here, and as business-minded individuals yourselves, I'm sure it comes to no surprise that majority of the companies choose option B. All right, so the next is, one thing we heard is, oh, there's a blogger exemption, and we heard this often, and obviously it took me a while to figure out, I'm not expert at legalese, to figure out, okay, what is going on with this blogger exemption? It was a common misconception that was often heard, And affiliates, that's why I addressed that before. We do not sell anything. And the exemption, it was a seller's exemption. So regardless of the dollar amount in that seller exemption, we as affiliates were not protected. This protects small out-of-state businesses as well as eBay sellers who are physically selling a product. Okay, in addition, affiliates, we're the only way to establish a physical nexus in Utah for these out-of-state companies. Therefore, we can't be exempt. You can't take us out of this whole mix because we are the physical, only physical presence that we have in the state for these out-of-state companies. So if affiliate nexus were to pass in Utah, hundreds of affiliate programs are in jeopardy. So shown here are a very small sample of businesses that have terminated their programs when nexus laws have passed in other states. Amazon did confirm, like Louisiana in April of this year, they would have terminated their program here if HB 235 had passed. So as you can see, all types of reviewers and bloggers would have been affected, from fashion and mommy bloggers to sports and home decor, which is an example of all those. All right. So what happens when these affiliate programs are lost? So no sales tax would be collected from these businesses. So any of those that were listed, they cancel their programs, they no longer have physical nexus, you're not getting sales tax from them. The playing field will not be leveled. So we agree that if you buy one product in a physical store or online, you should be paying sales tax for that, but this isn't the solution because this doesn't force any state to do that because of Quill. And lastly, the millions of dollars of affiliate marketers' income would be lost, as well as that major vital marketing tool that Utah businesses use. So the next thing I want to talk about is I went back and looked at some of the unintended consequences that happen with these bills. Now, we understand that obviously the state needs the revenue, but other things happen. And the first example is Illinois. Now, their law passed in 2011, but it was shot down by the Illinois Supreme Court in 2013. But the 2 years that it was in effect and why it was being challenged in the court, which was the goal of HB 235, the effects in the state were immediate and devastating. So first off, political leaders enacted a state law that is driving technology-driven jobs away. That short-sighted directive is called the Affiliate Nexus Law, also known as the Amazon Tax. Next, they had the loss of income, and as soon as government Pat Quinn signed the Affiliate Nexus in the spring of 2011, out-of-state sellers quickly terminated thousands of advertising agreements. Affiliate marketers stand to lose up to an estimated $744 million in annual revenue. And the last one for Illinois is it pushed small businesses out of state, which I experienced. Facing a dramatic loss in business, employers simply packed up and moved elsewhere. It's becoming painfully obvious that those benefiting from affiliate nexus laws are Illinois' neighbors. It is policy that is all pain and no gain. So another state, Rhode Island, they passed theirs in 2009. And they are currently, in last year they tried to repeal it. And it says, even more compelling is that the Amazon tax has not generated any sales tax receipts for the state since its inception in 2009. This tax has probably cost the general fund. And lastly, if we go to Louisiana, which is April 2016, there says the state was expecting to collect tax from Amazon sales under this new policy. Instead, Amazon severed connections with Louisiana affiliates, effectively undermining the click-through and affiliate laws. All right, so what is the solution? Now, we are all for a solution here, but it says that the federal problem requires a federal solution. So a state law cannot supersede the Commerce Clause of the Constitution. Only the federal government can rule on interstate commerce. Okay, that's pretty set in stone. And next, as we know that HB 235, they wanted to be challenged the courts, but there are several courts several states that already have their bills lined up. In fact, in April 28th of this year, South Dakota just filed. So there are already states that have this in the works to trying to force the federal government. All right, next. Also, must be pointed out that, click on the next one, that affiliate laws passed in other states, once again, they started in 2008. They have not changed consumer spending habits. Year by year, consumers continue to spend more and more online. In fact, it is double-digit rate growth, if I said that right, year by year, that it's growing. And then secondly, we understand that showrooming is a problem. I am completely aware of that. So I am in the bike world. And in the bike world, local bike shops are suffering because of online sales. So the retail side said, you know what? The federal government isn't doing anything about this, so we're going to do something. So Shimano, which is one of the biggest sellers of bike components, actually sells their products at a lower rate to brick-and-mortar stores than their online dealers because they're trying to help the brick-and-mortar stores. So I've seen this in the bike industry. In addition, that many bikes aren't available online. You have to go to that brick and mortar store. So the industry themselves is trying to help because they realize the federal government isn't acting and they want to help. So we all are looking for solutions. And finally, kind of start reviewing here. So affiliate nexus laws are bad for Utah. For one, so we said you're not going to get an increase in sales tax revenue. Millions of income will be lost, which is mostly stay-at-home moms. And small businesses will be forced out of state, like I've experienced. And many blogs, a major marketing tool for local companies, will be shut down. Okay, and lastly, if the main point of these laws, like HB 235 was very clear, was to attempt to force the federal government to act, our Federal Court of Appeals has already made their stance very clear in February of 2016 when they ruled on Colorado's affiliate nexus law. And there it says, we conclude by noting the Supreme Court's observation in Quill that Congress holds the ultimate power and is better qualified to resolve the issue of whether, when, and what to extend the states may burden, to what extent the states may burden interstate retailers with a duty to collect sales tax and use tax. So where HB 235 would have ended up, they've already decided. They've said this, you know, it's not our call. This has to be from the federal government. So in closing, to our brick and mortar stores, we'd like to say that we are not your enemy, but we're rather your ally. And whether it is your latest or greatest product or a new grand opening, rest assured that the bloggers will be there to support you and to try to get local business there. And to the legislators, we say, please think twice before voting on any affiliate nexus or click-through nexus laws. Affiliate marketers are hardworking, economy-building Utahns who don't deserve to be used as fuel, burned and consumed in the fire building beneath Congress to force them to act. Thank you.